give us more time. We can ask Anatoly to give us more time at the next session, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe on this discussion group, maybe on the submodeling, on the modeling subcommittee group, maybe it makes sense to gather a broader forum on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, or if necessary, we start another forum, but another forum is kind of difficult. So, yeah. That's just what I wanted to bring up to the awareness of everybody on the call. And I don't want to detract from Anatoly's main agenda today. So I yield back to him.
I'm speaking to my mute. Well, thank you, Arun. Just a very short notice of housekeeping. I should have been maybe announced it at the very beginning of this meeting. Just forgot to do that. First thing, this group has been officially renamed to Data Modeling Interest Group. Okay, just for you to know, if you suddenly got surprised with some new keywords in mails, just for you to know that we are right now called this way. Another thing to share right now. By the way, do you see my screen right now with the homepage of our group?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. Every material which is being presented on the forum, we expect it to be published on meeting some meeting minutes pages. I'm going to establish one ahead of each meeting, and then everyone who presents things just welcome to submit things on this page. Just few managing notes, okay? If you submit your material, just make sure, for example, that you provide a couple of explanation on it. If you have any materials enclosed with this presentation, they could be. It's a much more convenient way to see them if they are just detached of them and uploaded separately. And this is actually for the minutes. Another thing, these meetings will get some results and will probably, hopefully, trigger some offline discussions. And we also have to establish a room for these discussions too. So there are some one way to organize the discussions just right here on this minutes page. I don't think it's a good idea. I'm going to establish a special area on Wiki. Where we can discuss it every, just in some offline convenient format.
So I'm trying to understand the scope and I mean, well, not the scope, but the response. It's an interest group. Does it mean it's not actionable, or whatever is talked about here is not going to be actionable? Or to what extent is this group empowered to make decisions?
I think that this group is, at least this group is a good bean to get to some agreement on some internal forum of this modeling committee. Whoever is concerned with data modeling issues, this is a place to speak up and get to some internal agreements. Once we get to an internal agreement, we can just move it on to subcommittee and on to TSC.
That's how. So what specific agreements are we working on?
Data modelings. We have a lot of unclosed issues left on our list.
Okay, so we have a data modeling for resources discussion. We have other modeling. I'm just trying to understand how this fits into the existing set of meetings that actually make decisions, right? And if we're going to make decisions here, great. But I missed some of your introductory meetings because I was traveling. So if you discuss this, that's great. But I'm just trying to understand in the end what the expectations are. We make decisions about specific issues, or is this just a general governance kind of, not governance, but like a data model sort of, you know, let's talk about anything kind of meeting?
This is a place to get to agreements. And when the agreement is good enough and covers, you know, good good quorum, then it's almost a decision. The decision formally need to be confirmed by higher level forums like the submodeling modeling subcommittee and TC.
So I'm confused why this isn't just the release 3 data model initiative within the submodeling team. How is this different from that then?
Submodeling team, it proves to be overloaded with different issues. We focus mostly on data modeling, but besides data modeling, we also have informational modeling, for example, and multi-cloud modeling is another, whole aspect of modeling. Runtime modeling, for example, okay, it's instance model, for example, okay, it's probably another direction of things to discuss. So it's an attempt to get some heat off the modeling subcommittee and focus on data modeling issues with more relevant forum.
So why isn't if you go to the release 3 data model wiki page, how is this different from that?
The results of this modeling of this forum will be published there. That's direct.
They'll be published there. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. Well, so I guess we can jump to the. To why we gather today, okay, and the issue we are going to discuss today and to understand maybe yet another time is why are we going to have, at least it's not yet been approved, but it's my understanding we are very close to it, why are we going to have more than one data model within ONAP? This slide, yeah, sure, yep. Yeah.
Can you record your presentation? I think a lot of people might be interested to watch it later. Are you capable to record the bottom?
It's already recording.
I am recording.
Great, thank you.
I will publish
it. Okay, thank you. Sure. Thank you.
You've probably seen this slide many times in all kinds of variations. So the proposal, which is currently on our table, is that we have one data model on the step of onboarding, and this data model would be what comes out of SOL 01 discussion forum of ETSI, and then for the ongoing processing within ONAP for the steps of composition, orchestration, operation, we are going to have a separate model. And between these two models, we will have some logic that will provide a relay between these two data models, kind of translation. And obviously, questions that come up, why do we need more than one data model and why we agree for these extra costs? This translation level obviously brings in to the picture. So. This presentation is going to be yet another time about it, and I hope the people get this idea, maybe more, find it more comfortable than they've been before this meeting. So I've been asked to provide a short list of shortcomings of the existing data model, of the R2 plus data model, or let's call it, you know, its real name, SOL.
Hi, Antonio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry for interrupting. Can you go back to the last slide?
Sure.
So maybe I see, because I see this slide so many times, but I really have some confusion about what's the difference between the different stage. For example, that maybe assumption is that onboarding stage is handled by VMFSTK STC, composition and orchestration operation is handled by other component. Can you give me more detail about this?
Yeah, sure. So onboarding, it's obviously the phase when the VNF vendor comes into, you know, to ONAP and brings to the ONAP doorstep, it's VNF. Okay, that should be encoded in some standard way. So this is a step of onboarding. Once this model is ingested to ONAP, okay, it's stored in catalog, and then a service designer just picks it up to make up, for example, services. And this step of making services or higher level functions of lower level functions provided by vendor is called a composition. On the ONAP, what's called ecosystem, SDC is the piece of software that is doing this part of job. Orchestration, it's obviously when the service model that comes out of composition is being orchestrated. And on this step, the model just finds its home on the most appropriate location. It's being configured with an operator through vid, for example. And then it's just being orchestrated, and this part of job is done today by SO in conjunction with VFC. And we also have a bunch of controllers that provide low-level management of these services. And this step is called orchestration. And then we have this service, you know, up and running and providing services to our people and making money, hopefully. And this step is operation. And during this operation, all kinds of trouble came up. Okay, we may be needed to scale, for example, or we may need to redeploy things. We need to monitor things, its health and everything around it. So this step is an operation. And each step should be, at least we want it to be model-driven, meaning that we don't want to have a custom logic written per service within ONAP. The logic itself, the software, which is composing things, orchestrating things, operating things, should be exactly the same generic code driven totally by the definitions provided with the model. So that's the direction. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So,
hey, Anatoly, just one other little, it may seem like a nit, but it's actually pretty important. On the previous slide, we seem to be going only in one direction. And at least between the orchestration and the operation, maybe even the composition, it's really a loop, right? Because once you've adjusted the configuration of an instance of a VNF, let's say, or a service, at runtime, so those changes you may want to reflect them back into the design time catalog, so that subsequently,
right,
the same mistakes are made again and so on. So I would show this more like a life cycle, which is specific to the internal model of ONAP.
Right, good point. Thank you, Alex. You are absolutely right. We can say, you know, in the real state of affairs, we will witness loop from operation, for example, to composition or to orchestration, and from orchestration to composition. So all kinds of back feedbacks will be provided, and data flow as well. So, well, now for the again, for the advocating of this idea of multiple data model. Before this meeting, I was specifically asked to provide, you know, a short list of drawbacks, shortcomings of the existing data model, R2 plus or Sol01 model, let's call it a real name. Why this model is not good enough to satisfy the needs of ONAP during all these stages of things. On our previous meetings, I tended to focus mostly on technical points of this translation thing and technical differences between these two models. And it's natural. We are all here, you know, technical guys, and we tend to focus on technical things. But the real problem, maybe, it's not even differences with the ways we encode the same concept or similar concept in our Tosca files. The real reason of our difficulties, for example, during modeling, is that ONAP actually is not Etsy. What we have right now is that the onboarding data model comes out totally different organization with a totally different maybe not audience. Audiences are not the same, but they're overlapping greatly. But the process is different, and priorities are different, and schedules are totally run on their own. And what happens right now is that, for example, Etsy sole working groups working really hard for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, months, 2 months, whatever it takes. And then the result of their work, they just bring to our doorstep of ONAP and expect that we say, okay, look, it's really cute. We take it in. Absolutely understandable. But that then, you know, comes this hypothetical Anatoly of ONAP and looks at his baby and says, no wings, won't fly. Okay. And this hypothetical Victor of Etsy or Shitao or whoever advocates the Etsy approach within ONAP, for example, even if they totally agree with Anatoly, okay, and really see a will to help and to move things forward, they cannot fix things right away. In order to make these changes, they have to take it back to Etsy and again loop through the Etsy discussion forums. And fastest track ever, this will take like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. God forbid if it goes to informational models, and it will involve another cycle with IFA, and so on and so on. And so far, and meanwhile, the ONAP modeling works. I'm not saying it is blocked. Okay, we are working on our maybe patches. But anyway, it's a kind of shaky situation when the things are being undecided for too long. So having two different models is, first of all, is an organizational solution, which actually releases the development cycles of our two organizations. Etsy may just run with its own priorities on the sole model. ONAP works on its own model. And between these two models, there is some loosely coupled, let's call it asynchronous, pipeline of changes that, you know, Etsy just feeds in and ONAP just takes out. And there can also be some backwards, you know, line of contributions. And everyone is happy. We have totally untangled, free-flowing development process. So that's the main reason why ONAP should actually must have the ownership on its data model.
So yeah. I would even add to that, Anatoly. I think I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. I would say also that ONAP internal interfaces should not be owned by a standards body for the same reason, right? So internal to ONAP, it's one thing for ONAP on the outside, externally to support Etsy and to integrate with Etsy, but it's another thing for ONAP to be internally bound by Etsy standards.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, Anatoly. So I want to add one comment is that, so because in fact, I think I'm a developer. So I really don't think that what we are done in our tool is Etsy. So maybe what we are, our group want to do is that we can based on the Etsy works that maybe they already have done so many works that we do not need to rebuild the wells, that we can base on this. And to, if we have found some or cannot complete our requirements or from our own app, we can refine it in our own app. That maybe we also can push back to the Etsy. But at first, I think we can reduce so many levers that if we based on Etsy. So I totally agree with you that it's two organizations, because I also want to OwnApp can have its own data model, but I think it's but our data model, I think, is we could based on the Etsy, because they have already done so many works that we can use this. I think if we totally to rebuild a new models, we still have so many problems or difficulties that Etsy guys already have. So maybe just from a developer perspective to see this. That's my opinion.
So I agree with that also. So Anatoly, you aren't saying that we cannot use Etsy. So for instance, for the scaling, right? So for this, prior to this meeting, we had a scaling discussion where we observed that OwnApp does not yet have a model or a formal representation for scaling, for capturing scaling information. And so the proposal is to therefore leverage that which Etsy has already defined, because it makes sense. It's useful, and it was done. It seems to be done reasonably well. So why not use it? So Anatoly, you're not saying that OwnApp, even though OwnApp is not bound by Etsy, it doesn't mean that OwnApp shouldn't leverage standards organizations' work as appropriate.
It's a very good point. Okay, OwnApp absolutely should look into the experience into proposals of Etsy and adopt whatever is useful. Okay, and for example, if this scale solution of Etsy is good enough for us, and I guess it just covers our needs. I have not yet looked into it, right, into the details, but yeah, it's absolutely a natural thing to do. Actually, it's the first thing to do before we start modeling anything within OwnApp.
Right.
Yep.
And the reason we're choosing Etsy is because in slide 2, we started with an Etsy document, right? Slide 2, you start. So if we were coming up with a data model, given, at least for a VNF, given that we're starting with a SOLID 001, then probably the first choice would be to let's try to follow, like you said, first thing would be to let's look at, see what Etsy did and see if we can just use it.
Absolutely.
Yes, actually, this slide that showing more onboarding that SOLID 001, I think it's not... because actually our data model is not equal with the SOLID 001. We already have some modification from information modeling. Actually, we can call it as our own app data modeling that based on the SOLID 001, but not only the SOLID 001.
So maybe we need to tease apart a few things here. So in general, I've always believed that the internal runtime representation of things needs to be very closely tied to the architecture of the platform. And as Anatoly pointed out, OwnApp is not Etsy Mano, and we should be very specific there. Different architecture, different use cases, not just virtualization, but cloud computing, for example, and that makes a big difference. We're not being precluded, for example, from onboarding VNFs that are in a particular format. And even though today it might be SOL 001 based, I think in the future it might be based on the Yang representation, or Heat is, to me, not a portable format, so I'll only speak to portable formats. But that doesn't mean that I can't use Helm charts or other portable formats that are, well understood by the industry. Okay. So to me, how I ingest my VNF and what in what shape and form it's represented is separate from the internal representation of the data structures at the operational state and the configuration associated with a VNF instance. Okay, that's really what we're really talking about here. How do we represent VNFs in terms of portability for interoperability between operators and VNF suppliers? And then how do we actually deal with the instance modeling? I would throw in Tosca instance modeling into the loop as well and say, well, why can't we just use that? That's a well-accepted standard. Or, you know, will be because it's still being worked on, right? So, you know, let's be very honest. You know, there's very little actual approved standards in this space. But anyway, from a runtime perspective, even OSM, if we take, you know, that is another community that is implementing, you know, similar use cases. They're not using, you know, anything close to Etsy. Not even the lifecycle model. So here's an example, another example where the runtime representation is, you know, God knows what it is. I mean, it's based on Yang. It's not even supported, you know, in the Tosca specification. I mean, in the Etsy specifications, Victor. So to me, it's only natural to split the two. Okay. You know, I would argue that, if we do the design of VNFs inside ONAP, or if we do design of network services within ONAP, there ought to be an option to output an Etsy-compatible format for exchange with other parties, okay? Mm-hmm. That I would actually argue in favor of. But in terms of how we manage and represent VNF instances, don't really know why it needs to be exactly precisely the same as what we use in Etsy. Don't really know. And don't want to preclude the possibility of replacing, you know, orchestration modules, for example, with alternative implementations that may carry with them different models. So that's why I'm a little puzzled why we're so opposed to making the split.
To me, it does not sound like we are opposed. So far, the feedback I'm hearing right now on these forums, they are mostly positive. Some are hesitating, okay? But just absolutely push back.
I think from my view, this isn't just a data model issue. It should be an information model issue. We should be able to pick, call it best of breed, whether it's Etsy or some other forum. We should be able to add to it. We should be able to change it. We shouldn't do it just for the sake of change, but for a justified reason, and it should be okay.
So, well, thanks for the feedback. Okay, that's the, like I said, you know, many issues just brought here to by Alex and by Kevin, they're absolutely true. Okay, being able to onboard more formats and being open to new formats on onboarding, it's obviously an advantage of such a method. Being able to output something in Etsy compliant format, well, it could be feature, definitely. Right now, just not on the priority. Once we get to it, we can address it. Yep, so the situation. And by the way, I am really glad to hear generally positive feedbacks on this idea. Like I said, I was also asked to provide a few examples of where, for example, the Etsy data model falls short of the ONAP expectations. You know, I will, of course, I prepared a few slides, but first of all, these only examples, and I suggest that we do not, you know, draw into some too technical discussions. We can do it offline. And again, I can be right in my you know, claims to the Etsy model. I can be wrong, but again, this does not cancel the fact that our models will be always different. Okay, with the gap can be bigger or smaller, but it will be always there. So just this long promised list of what I see as, for example, as an example of shortcomings of this old data model. Okay, first ones I can just pick up out of my head, actually the most painful to me, is Sol for some reason undermines the importance of capabilities and requirements. Okay, actually capabilities and requirements is a cornerstone of the Tosca modeling. In some sense, it's even more important than node types. And Sol data model consistently, repeatedly, it puts very important properties on the node types and not on the capability types. And this actually precludes the service designer, for example, to provide kind of abstractions. Okay, a very important way to provide an abstraction with this service model is to leave some requirement dangling, and that this requirement could describe everything it needs or will need ever. And this story requirements is telling to the orchestrator and to the composer is encoded by the means of a special Tosca construct like a node filter. If you put this property, which is responsible actually for connectivity, not for description of some node, on this node instead of capability, then it's just bad for abstraction, and it just gets lost when substitution mapping comes into the picture, and so on and so on. So it looks like a very minor difference, okay? Like here is the Sol model for virtual link with this connectivity type property that concentrates things like protocols and flow patterns. And here is the ONOP data model, which will be discussed, I hope, next time, which does exactly the same thing, but it puts this property on a linkable capability. Will translation of these things complicated? Of course not. Okay, it should be a non-brainer. But for example, just I'm pretty much sure that after this meeting, Etsy will consider refactoring of the data model. And maybe we'll in a week or two, we'll see this property moving to the capability type. But again, this will be done on some lower priority in Etsy forum, leaving room for their high priorities. And for the ONOP communities, they will just open a way to model things in the way which is more convenient. Okay, so this is one example, for example, of some limitation of the Sol data model. By the way, this is a good example of, I guess, is a more general problem of the Etsy data modeling. Etsy data modeling, you know, maybe it can be explained by the vendor-oriented nature of this forum, is that Sol data models, they are very concrete. They, you know, vendor brings up its VNF, it knows everything about the VNF. All nodes are very concrete, very backed up with implementation artifacts, everything like this. When you take an upper level of design, service level, you want to be able to provide an abstraction. You do not want to sign on a commitment to a very specific router. You just want to bring a requirement for a router, or maybe a placeholder for a router, and which router will it be? Let the orchestrator decide, or maybe let the service designer decide during design time, but just on some later time. Okay, and for this reason, for example, the ONOP data model puts very close, very sorrowful focus on the idea of specifying abstraction, and the Etsy a modeling forum somehow overlooks this very important problem. So another example, okay, of shortcomings within the Etsy data modeling. Okay, again, it has to do with capabilities and requirements. Okay, I find it very, it's just an example. Okay, this is a well-known node type. It's compute. okay? And this compute has capabilities. And with these capabilities, let's just have a look at these capabilities. You will find suddenly capabilities which are, well, capabilities, for example, this capability of virtual binding is actually what a compute provides to the outer world. And whoever comes with a requirement can find a match with this binding. But for example, virtual compute, even being provided among the capabilities, is actually a requirement of a model to the outer world. Okay, so here, within this very small node type, we have capabilities which are indeed capabilities which are actually requirements, and requirements which are actual requirements. I can tell ahead that I also found requirements being expressed through properties named the requirement and things like that. Okay, and this makes, you know, model-driven everything almost impossible. So again, I have no doubt that Etsy will take it into consideration and maybe will refactor their model towards this remark. But again, another one. Okay, so Etsy just defines its types, node types, relationship types, capability types. Sometimes there are very Etsy specific or networking specific or even ONAP specific. But somehow I can see it a lot, okay, that the lineage with Tosca normatives is broken. Okay. For example, this capability of linkable. Okay, it looks exactly like the normative linkable of vanilla Tosca. Okay, but it's not derived of it. And being derived from capabilities root and not from the normative Tosca linkable things just precludes us from combining things within our service model with some VNF that came out from some other ecosystem. Connectivity expressed through capabilities has a lot to do with relationship, and relationship Tosca also have huge effect on workflows, declarative workflows, imperative workflows less, but still. Okay, I'm not saying that Etsy modeling totally disregards, you know, this lineage with Tosca normatives. For example, this relationship, this type of relationship, I used to see it derived from root. At least that was the situation in the CSER that Victor covered the last lecture. Okay, and right now in the Sol specs, I can see that the inheritance is being switched to some Tosca normatives thing. So it's, again, it's a progress, but and very encouraging sign. A huge one, interfaces. Okay, again, interfaces is a pretty new concept. We're not exactly supporting them in ONAP, but we have to do that. And Etsy also starts using this Tosca construct. And within the Sol proposal, I can see this interface, okay? They say Tosca interface NFV, VNF lifecycle interface. And the question, it's a huge interface, and it's very problematic, okay? For us, it's not standard Tosca lifecycle interface. It is not aligned with any workflow. Why I mentioned the workflow? Because workflow actually is just another part of interface in this contract between the VNF and the orchestrator. If you just look at an interface and you see an operation, you cannot tell, for example, why this operation will be invoked before that operation. The thing that keeps this kind of rules is called workflow. And Tosca has its own workflow. It's a default workflow, deploy and undeploy. It has some plans for extending these workflow things. But for example, this Etsy originated life cycle is so far no backed in any way by any kind of workflow, neither declarative, neither nor imperative. So it's kind of a problem. Another problem with this interface is that when you look into these operations, it's like two-thirds of these operations, they're not only unsupported by Tosca. They naturally cannot be supported by Tosca. And why is that? It's because these operations are going to represent a kind of a naive attempt to represent in the language of Tosca, something that the ETS informational model calls internal stimuli. This is actually something that is being invoked by the VNF itself. Okay, but the Tosca interface is not operation, is intended exclusively for the use of the orchestrator. Tosca operations are never invoked by the internal nodes of VNF or whatsoever. Okay, it's actually interface is something that comes with a node type, and when you get into the topology of NFV of this type, implementing a substituting topology, there is no way to access this externally defined operation. So again, this has it very natural roots, like the ETSI life cycle being built on expectations for some architecture, mono architecture, has very little to do with current ONAP life cycle, and it is not very much aligned with the Tosca life cycle. So the interface is actually something that should be translated. Okay, so
Anatoly, just to interrupt, I think you basically, this slide basically, I think, is the crux of why things are different and why there needs to be a separate runtime model from the onboarding model, in my opinion. And that is that the internal life cycles being advocated here are highly theoretical, with the exception of one, the ONAP lifecycle, because it's the only real implementation that's out there based on these life cycles. And so to me, whatever the life cycle of ETSI Mano is supposed to be, it is good for that maybe, but not for ONAP. And Tosca lifecycle is a very generic one, and assumes that the Tosca orchestrator is being used, not some other orchestrator. So again, an example of why the runtime models are typically different, because the orchestration logic assumed by ETSI is not Tosca orchestration logic, and the orchestration logic assumed by Tosca is not ETSI and not ONAP. So to me, we're comparing apples and oranges, because there were never similar ambitions to begin with between any of this, right? Tosca defines an orchestration language. ETSI never wanted an orchestration language. They just wanted something to describe in general terms what a VNF is. And the grammar of Tosca sounded good or looked good. And so the reason why things are starting to evolve a little bit is because in the ETSI community, we recently started to talk about the fact that maybe the specification should not preclude a Tosca orchestrator from being used. But if you don't assume that to start with, then of course it's all going to be different and diverge and not necessarily follow all the rules.
Yeah, sure. But this is just an indication of a problem we have here. An elephant in the room, actually. Yeah. Well, but okay. After this huge and complicated issue of interfaces, here's something nice and easy just to for the appetizer or for the dessert. Okay. It's just sometimes ETSI has some greater expectations from the Tosca as a language than Tosca actually is. Right now, okay. For example, right now, we have this property of connectivity type, which is a complex type property. And like I said, in ONAP, we are going to use this property mostly with node filter construct of Tosca. And node filter construct of Tosca right now does not support, does not provide a good support, okay, I have to say, for complex type properties. So solution I saw the best for this problem in for linkable, for example, just to flatten up this complex connectivity type things into a series of primitive type properties. But again, we have to, this is just a good example when our two communities, ONAP and ETSI, can maybe just join efforts and contribute to Tosca as a language, just to take it to some to another level of complexity and capabilities. That's it for now. Okay, I can see that we did not succeed to get to the discussion of translation as you know, as a technical challenge. But anyway, what right now I would be glad to get some feedback on this idea on having separating. Can we take it for further approval at modeling subcommittee and on to the TSC? What do you think? So far, I've heard only positive or maybe neutral feedbacks. Negatives, we didn't hear any.
So, Anthony, can I ask just one question here?
Sure.
Are you proposing to keep others no change, but to change the only the list of the items you talked about here? Is that the plan you are going to take?
No, this is just an example. It's just an example. There will be other things. Okay, and actually, you know, finding more and more things, this will just take some time of the schedules of the people involved into ONAP, and that's exactly just another, you know, proof of the idea that our cycle should be different. We will find some shortcomings in our free time, or maybe as we work, and they will be just backstream to Etsy community. This is just an example. There will more to come. There will also always be some differences. No, this is not an exact list of changes that has to be done right now in it. No.
Okay, so suppose you are going to have more to come. So your plan is to keep the others, these two data models unchanged, but changing anything you would like to propose here. Is that the plan?
I'm not sure I get you, okay? Of course, you know, if you have two models being developed, then they are all the time just get out of sync. And yeah, whoever is responsible for this sync will keep track of the counterpart and just update it. I do not want to make any commitments, okay, for support. Maybe we have some plan for incremental involvement, development of our models. I don't know. Okay, but so far, no, I wouldn't say that we have to commit to some very strict list of changes, no making changes at all.
Okay, thank you. So I'm done.
We will keep the list of open issues and the list will be ongoing, I guess.
Thank you.
So, yep, that's it. The plans for the next call we have, it's going to be a day before the start of the Beijing summit. So I'm not sure we are going to have this call. What do you think? It could be good to have this call, but I guess many people will be on flights, yeah.
Yeah, so may I suggest, because the next week is the next Monday is Dragon Boat Festival in China, so I would suggest we cancel the call. The resort modeling also canceled the call. So the if you want, we can host a call, a session for you. The next week, I can try to organize the bridge for you to let you to dive in maybe in the Chinese afternoon time, that's your morning time. Would that be okay? We can skip.
It sounds reasonable. Okay, just send me out your invitation. I will see how we reconcile between these two calls. Yeah. So far, I'm not canceling this call, but I will do once we get closer to it. If I see that we have some replacement acceptable for the fourth.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's it, everyone. Thank you, and I will publish the materials on Wiki, and we're expecting for your remarks offline.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
So, goodbye, everyone.
Bye bye.
Right. See ya.